Before we get to our message, what I'd like to start off with is actually some time in discussion groups. So those online are going to get broken up and go to their own discussion groups together. And you here have the opportunity to turn your chairs or rearrange yourselves in such a way that you can have a conversation with someone. Here's the question I would like you to discuss. What would it take for this church, this place here now, to become a place where someone could walk in here and who doesn't know Jesus, and by the end, they fall down and say, God was really here among us this morning. I met Jesus. What would it take? What would it take for someone to have that kind of dramatic encounter with God where they recognize his presence among us? What would it take? Enjoy those conversations. We'll see you back here in about 7 or 8 minutes. Okay, so we're in our discussion groups asking the question, what would it take for someone who doesn't currently follow Jesus, that if they came in here, what would it take for them? What sort of experience would be necessary for them to have in order for them to fall down and say, Jesus is really here. I met God here this morning, that kind of thing. And I'm sure you had some interesting answers in your group. And I'm not going to say any of those are necessarily wrong, but what we are going to do is answer that question by going to the scriptures, because the scriptures actually directly address that question. Before we get there, though, I was asking God about that question this week and about how our passage today relates to our passage from last week about prophecy being something that can encourage and strengthen and upbuild, and then at the same time do something else as well. And what I saw was a picture. And so I'm gonna walk you through that. Would you close your eyes with me and picture this? I saw Jesus, and he was shining white. And he walked through a city that was piles and piles of rotting garbage, just heaps that smelled so bad you could actually see the smell rising off of them and as they baked in the sun. And Jesus walked through this city of garbage, and he came to a river that had been running through the city, but the garbage had been running into the river, so it was now so toxic, it actually looked like an oil spill, that river. And Jesus walked into that river, went down under it, and walked up the other side. And he was still shining white. Nothing was clinging to him, no smell, no toxic stuff. And what he was doing was holding someone who'd been at the bottom of that river. And he took them up to the other side, and he breathed his life into them after carrying that person out. Now I'm going to read the scriptures. I'd invite you actually to keep your eyes closed for this as well. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5 first. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. But when one prophesies, that person speaks to people for their strengthening and encouraging and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue just builds themselves up, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. I'd like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. And now I'm going down to verse 23. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues, and an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in, will they not say you're out of your mind? But if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all, as the secrets of their hearts are laid bare. And so they will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. This is the word of the Lord. Not my vision, but this is the word of the Lord. Okay. But they are related. You know, as we see from these two passages, prophecy can be both, it can and is both for believers, for their strengthening and building up and encouragement and comfort and all of that stuff as we covered last week. But then the second part of the passage, verses 23 to 25, say that prophecy is also for unbelievers, for even unbelievers, even those who would wander in because they're simply inquiring. And God can actually speak to them through prophecy. And it's prophecy operating the church service that God says is what it's going to take for an unbeliever to fall down and say, God's really there among us. So we might have answered our question by saying that, you know, if we really want to see repentance and conversions in a church service, we need to have more evangelistic messages and altar calls. You might have answered that question and said, what we really need is more anointed worship or something like that. But the way that God answers that question, when we ask God, what would it take for an unbeliever showing up here to discover that God is actually here among us now? The way God answers that question is to say, if prophecy is operating in your church, there's an opportunity for it. I don't know about you, but that sort of blew my mind when I saw that this week. How many times have I read 1 Corinthians 14? But there it is. If we want people to experience God's presence among us here, it's going to need to include prophecy. And once again, what's prophecy? As we've been talking about in these last number of weeks, it's just listening. It's just listening to God and then learning to speak what it is that he is sharing with you. And so we've been covering this in the last number of weeks and months. What are the different ways that God speaks? It might be words. It might be a picture. It might be just an image. It might be more of the video. It might be just an impression or a feeling or a nudge. God speaks in any number of different ways. And the more that we can tune into the ways that he speaks, the more that we will have the opportunity to share that for someone and then have them fall down and declare, wow, I met God in that moment. He's really here among his people. Maybe just as a brief side note, when we talk about God presenting pictures like the one that I saw here this week, it wasn't like galaxy cinema size. It was like a small picture of garbage that it started with. And then a picture of Jesus. I'm like, God, what's going on with Jesus in this garbage? And I see Jesus walking. It just sort of continues, but it only continues as you allow it, as you focus on it a little bit and allow it and say, God, I think you're saying something here. And the reason that I got that was because I asked God how it could possibly be that prophecy could be both for believers, their encouragement and upbuilding and strengthening, and then also for unbelievers and calling them to account at the same time. And that was his answer. Look at this image, Ben. Is this image for unbelievers or believers? Well, it's for both. And it's open to all. You can do this. You can do this, friends. You can learn to listen. In fact, the passage is absolutely explicit that it's open to all. And I'll talk to you about that in just a moment. But some of you are currently wondering if you're the person under the river. And it doesn't matter if you've been in church your whole life. I'd like to share a story. It's going to take about 10 minutes to play it. It's a testimony. It's actually the same band from last week, but it's the lead singer's testimony of how he grew up in a church and discovered he'd been under the river the whole time. So Lionel's going to share that for us. We're going to watch that, and we'll talk just a little bit more after. Whether we've been in church our whole lives or, you know, today is the first day or something like that, everyone gets under the river, and it's time to say no more messing around, friends. No more messing around, right? Are we gonna take this stuff seriously? I think today is the day where some of us need to decide. I'm all in. Do you understand? You play poker and you push all the chips into the middle of the table, and you say, "I'm all in. I'm all in." Whether you've been a Christian, whether you prayed the prayer 750 times or not, there's always that opportunity to say, I'm now all in. I'm now all in. We're not messing around here with this, guys. We're not messing around with the impersonal God where we just show up at church and play religion and sing a few songs and maybe the preacher cracks a joke once in a while and we go home with a nice warm fuzzy buzz or something like that. Like, we're all in, guys. We're all in. We're all in so that we can be the kind of church where God can speak to us and through us and someone can show up here and declare, God is really among us here. We got to be all in for that. So no more messing around. It means no more messing around also means that we have to take prophecy and take it out of the sort of mythical, mystical realm of people with giant beards and robes and they live in caves and they eat locusts or something like that. Like, prophecy is for you. And God wants to speak through you to the people here in this room, so that someone falls down and declares, God is really among us. You, whether you're 12 or whether you're 100, right? God wants to speak through you. But we have to be open to it. We have to be ready for that. We have to be pursuing it. But we should, no more messing around means that we start to expect that God's going to do that kind of thing. Expect that he is going to show up here and speak through other people. And we should be ready to hear it. We have to be willing to be people that pray for it. And it really is open to you. And it's open to you the moment that you start following Jesus, like really start following Jesus. So, I think about Noah Kadju. And the testimony we shared just a number of weeks ago about how he was baptized. And within a few weeks of him being baptized, God is speaking through him. He's learning to listen to God and speak that to other people. And he shared that with us. He shared, I'm learning to prophesy over people. I didn't realize God would actually speak to me, and he speaks through me. And he blessed some other people through me. It happened just a couple of weeks ago, and Kevin didn't even realize it. I mentioned this at our council meeting this week, that at the semi-annual meeting a couple of weeks ago, Kevin Bender says, I challenge the church to let go of our agendas, whichever side of this hope mission discussion we are on. I challenge us to surrender our own agendas so that we can actually hear God. And I heard God through Kevin in that moment. That's prophecy. And Kevin wouldn't have called himself a prophet, but God speaks through the people who learn to listen and take a risk and say, I'm willing to share it. I'm willing to share it. It's happening through some of our kids, as you've seen up here on stage, right? If you're willing to learn to listen, God will speak through you. So, I mean, what would it take to have the experience like 1 Corinthians 14 mentions, where an unbeliever shows up here and they hear God speak through someone in the pews and they fall down and say, God is really here. I met him. And I'm repenting and I'm following Jesus. That's what God is calling us to, friends. That's what the scriptures call us to. Go back and look at them again. Because I didn't come up with that question. It's right here. And it's available for all of us. So what would it take for us to become a church where that actually happens here? It would take nothing more than each of us learning to listen. It is that simple. We learn to listen to God. It would simply take us becoming a church where we learn to listen and then learn to speak it to other people. Share. It'd simply take becoming a church where we're actually open to that, where we actually want that to happen for the sake of the other person in the room. It take nothing more than a church saying, we welcome this. We will do what 1 Corinthians 14 says and actually pursue this and encourage it and foster it and develop it and recognize that God will speak through even you. There is no one here who walked through these doors and there is no one here who will walk out of these doors that God would not be willing to use to speak to and then speak through. This is for you, my friends. Just look at those verses one more time. Verses 23 to 25. 24. If an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they're convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. As the secrets of their hearts are laid bare, they will fall down and worship God, saying, God is really among you. It's available to all, to everyone. This is for you, my friends. It's God's gift to you, if you want it. We used to do reflection time at the end of a service. I'm scrapping reflection time. No more thinking. I'm going to reintroduce listening time, or introduce listening time. I'm going to give you a minute. And instead of you jotting down the notes of the things that you think you need to remember from God's word or this message or something like that, I invite you to take a minute and ask God the question, what do you want me to take from this? Take that time now. Lord, I give you thanks and praise that you are intensely and incredibly personal, that you long for and welcome us into a conversational, intimate relationship with you. I thank you that you are teaching us not only your heart, but also your voice. Would you tune us into your frequency? Would you school us in the ways that you speak, not only for our sakes, but for the sake of those who don't yet know you, whom you want to speak to through someone here in the room? Lord, some of us here have real hearts for evangelism. Some of us here have real hearts for your presence and pursuing you in that way, and yet those things come together in prophecy in this beautiful way. Lord, would you give us that heart? Would you make us people who would take a risk of listening and then sharing something for someone else's encouragement or strengthening or upbuilding or comfort? Even something that might help someone recognize there are some things that need to change in my life. Would you make us people who can tune into you so well that others would recognize your presence in the room? For their sake, Lord, and ultimately for your sake and your glory, we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings to those of you who are online. Go in peace. I think we've got one final song here.